Blog Talk Radio.
Taínos Radio, this is Sana Cody. ¿Cómo está todo el mundo? How are everyone? Okay, this is Taino Radio. I'd like to welcome the whole world to another segment of DNA and Taino culture. Check this out. I'd like to give special thanks. Okay, this is Roll Call, Roll Call. We got Canada way up on the north. We got Turtle Island. We have Mexico, great Mexica nations there. We got Argentina, awesome. And we have Morocco. We got Portugal. We got the United Kingdom. We got Ireland. That's right. We got Germany. We have Italy. And how can I forget Russia? And we have Australia. Last but not least, those great supporters in Japan. Okay, that's awesome. Of course, Borinquen in the house always. We have Jamaica in the house. Awesome, awesome. And we cannot forget Quisqueya La Bella. Every week she's with us. That's awesome. And I have my co-hostess, and her name is Inaru Boria. She, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, Sana Cody.
All right. How's it going? How's your week been so far? Good?
Man, I thought it was Friday for the last 2-3 days. It's been a long week, Sana Cody. It's been a long week.
Let me tell you, man, we've been crawling to the finish line, right? But Friday's almost here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I tell you, man. You know, I'm so excited for my last DNA show. You know, with Profesor Miguel Villar. Wow.
Yes,
Dr.
Villar was amazing.
Yeah, that was a good show. Maybe we can piggyback on that show and answer some questions people have been asking. And I like to put the number out there so people can call in. Maybe they have some questions, right? What do you think? Think that's a good idea?
Yeah. Sure.
I know people are shy, man. You know, they write and they go on the chat board, but they don't like calling in. They're kinda scared, you know? But I want to tell people, don't be scared. We're in Turtle Island right here. Don't be afraid of those butterflies.
Judgment-free zone.
You know, those tanamas be rumbling in your stomach. It's all right. So the guest calling number is 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. 92, and today's topic is, what happens when DNA is diluted? Are we still indigenous Taino when that happens? What do you think about that topic?
Well, I can personally attest to this one. But before I go into my personal opinion on it, right? I think it's very important that people understand that just indigenous groups, especially our North American cousins, indigenous groups have not always adhered to this one drop rule. As long as you have a drop of DNA in you, you know, you are what that indigenous native group is. You know, we have been fighting for a very long time to accept the one drop, you know, the idea of accepting our people for regardless the small or large DNA that they can prove that they had. And it's a really big topic. It's a really big issue that we have within the Native communities because, like I said, a lot of our North American cousins have to prove their DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to prove their lineage. It's not even the DNA anymore at this point. They have to prove a lineage that goes back a certain amount of generations. And once they reach a certain level within that generational time frame, they can't live, you know, on the reservations, or they can't claim being indigenous North American anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the benefits that we as Caribbean First Nation people have is that we don't have to recognize something in that capacity. So we're able to say, you know, one drop rule and that's it. You know, you have a little bit in you, you have it in your family, and it makes you, you know, indigenous. You are part of that clan, that race of people. And as somebody who is extensively mixed, I will say, personally speaking, I don't think that my percentage of DNA constitutes my level of indigenous identity. I think that the culture that I was, you know, born in, you know, what I was raised with, the lineage that I come from, that speaks for who I am. You know, anybody can walk around and say, look, I'm Taino. And who knows, you can be, you might be, but it's really what's in your heart that makes you a Taino. You know, the DNA, it's cool to have it, but you can be a Taino and not know any part of the culture, not know anything, and still be just as proud, you know? And then there are people who have very, very small amounts of DNA and know everything about the culture. And it's, you know, it doesn't make one more indigenous than the other one. So.
Mm. Well, you know, I spent some time in Puerto Rico last year, in 2019, and when I spoke to people I didn't even know, we brought up this issue about the Indio, you know, and everyone always spoke about this topic in the past tense. Just talk about the normal person that not into the Taino movement, whatever. It's always in the past tense, right? And I remember going to a show. Gallo, if you listen to me right now, that was a cool night, you know? That was a cool night. We went to, I believe it was San Juan. Was it San Juan? I don't remember. But they were jamming with the bomba plena music, you know? And people were dancing.
Like it was in San Juan.
Yeah, people were dancing. People were chilling. It was good food, you know? I want to say it was San Dulce. It was one of the places in San Juan. Guy, if you're listening, why don't you call in, man? You let us know. Okay, but basically, I got a little upset. I was talking to my friend Guy, you know, I was a little upset because I guess I got kind of jealous, believe it or not. There was the same feelings, you know. I was like, if I was jealous about something or a woman or something, it was like, but I was jealous about the Taino culture, indigenous culture. Because when it's something like Jibaro music or something, you know, which is spat, you know, has definitely has Taino elements in it, you know, same thing with Bomba Plena, but this genre, this music genre is accepted. It brings joy into people's hearts. I love Jibaro music, but then when it comes to Taino music or whatever, everyone's like, whoa, you know, they start backing off, or it's not publicly accepted, you know. In the what do you call it? In the secular world, I guess I want to call it the secular culture, and that upset at me. I got jealous, you know. I was like, man, let me go up there and play some Taino drumming, you know. Let me show the people, you know. But I understand that within the element of Blena music, there's that Taino element, those beats. But but people mostly think of African influence, and I'm not putting down the African. I'm just saying. Generally, the indigenous is just not recognized, and that upsets me, you know, at a public level, You know, it's almost like it's still like a taboo. So it puts pressure on people who identify as Indio, as indigenous, Taino, whatever. It puts that pressure on, and I don't know what that is. I really don't know. With and Dr. Villar saying 61% in Borinquen of the women line has that indigenous. It's like, what went wrong? What happened? How did we forget as a population, you know?
I mean,
60% is huge.
I don't think we forgot. I don't think we forgot at all.
No. I mean, I'm talking about general, the whole, you know.
I think it's more, well, all right. So I can give you an experience that I had back in, 2021 right now, right? So back in 2019, I went to a powwow. And I think it was in New Jersey. And I oftentimes don't see a lot of Borinquen Taínos at the powwows. And when I do see them, they're not really loud about it. So I happened to walk into this tent, and there was this really tall gentleman who looked like he could have been one of my uncles. And, yeah, honestly, that's normal for me when I go to the powwows. You know, most of the people with the powwows look like they could be related to me. But there was something different about this guy, right? So I started to talk to him. He asked me, you know, what my name was. I introduced myself. We got into a conversation, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm Taino. And I said, what? Yo, I've been looking for Taínos everywhere all the time.
Right.
This is actually right before you and I connected, Sana Cody, because I was telling him about the stuff that I wanted to do at the school. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, most people, most Taínos don't really recognize themselves as Taíno because they have the idea of ese indio sucio in their head all the time.
Right.
And it's this misconception for the people who don't speak Spanish, Indio Sucio is like dirty Indian. It's this misconception that we've all been forced to almost accept for what natives are. You know, they misappropriate what the indigenous person is. You know,
right.
If it's not the quintessential view of Geronimo and, you know, your hand up, you know, how sounding very, very stereotypical native and, you know, brown skinned and fluid hair and brown eyes, it's, you know, we have addiction issues, or we not just honor the land, but we live on the land and in a dirty kind of way. So these misconceptions of what indigenous people are force so many people into almost the shame of identifying as indigenous, especially in the Caribbean. You know, we're talking about our last for real time of having tribes, vivid, full, colorful tribes in the Caribbean was 1400 something, 14, what, 92, 1500?
Right.
So time, you know, we're being stolen, we're being murdered just for existing. No other reason, just existing.
Wow.
Not being able to communicate and share ideas in a way that the colonizers could understand us. We were murdered for literally only existing. And out of fear, people mixed with the colonizers. You know, they had no other choice. This is how I can save myself. This is how I can save my family. I'm going to, you know, marry. I'm going to conform. I'm going to change my religion. I'm going to, you know, live this lifestyle. And they continued to intermix and interbreed and intermarry until we got to this point. And in that whole idea of intermixing and intermarrying, the idea was so that I couldn't be so indigenous. So I wouldn't be a target anymore. So I wouldn't be, you know, whatever it is that they were running from. So for all of that to happen and none of the culture being passed down. It was just the idea of don't say you're indigenous because they killed us for being indigenous. That's what was passed down. You know, and of course, not everybody had that. You know, that's how our culture survived, because some people, they lived in that indigenous identity. They revered it, they honored it, and they carried it through.
Right.
But the masses, unfortunately, conformed and were shamed. They were, you know, shamed, and they felt that they couldn't identify as being indigenous for fear of existing. And that got passed down, you know, from generation to generation. Don't say you're Indian. Don't say you're Native. Don't say you're Taino, because, you know, they tried to kill us for that. So as long as you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. And that's what ended up happening. You know, how many scholastic documents say that the Tainos exist? How many scholars have written think pieces and articles and had lectures about Taino people not existing anymore? We're gone. Mm. We were eradicated. We were decimated. How many? There's honestly way too many to count, where we're literally talking about just between the 70s and 2021, there's documentation stating, no, wait, Tainos are not extinct. And not until recently with DNA studies have we been able to prove that Taino DNA has carried through and carried over. And again, we're talking about the last living groups of full-blooded Tainos was the 1500s. It is now 500 years later, and we're still carrying genetic markers and viable percentages of Taino DNA in our physical bodies. That says a lot as far as, you know, how we can identify as being Taino. So for the people who do say, you know, oh, well, I only have 3% DNA, you know, from Boricuan saying that I'm Taino, that 3% traveled 500 years to get to you. And it's still there 500 years later. That's a long time period to still have such a viable amount of DNA in your system. So for you to say, oh, well, I only have 3%, can I actually be Taino? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we went from 100% to 3% in 500 years. We're talking about going from a population of 100,000 people to, you know, a handful in a five, right, you know, however many years span. From 1400 to 1500, we were decimated by almost, what, I think it's 85% our population,
right,
was just completely eradicated.
Right.
So out of a living 15% of the entire people still able to carry over 3% of their DNA within a 500-year span, there's no way you should not honor that. It would almost be blaspheme to not honor that. And again, it's my personal opinion, but to say, oh, I'm mixed, you know, can I still be thought of as Taino? Absolutely. You know, I can't think any other way about that.
So what happens to the general public, though, that, I mean, you know, there's no more invaders around anymore. There's a different kind of invader in Puerto Rico, but there's not that fear element anymore. So why are people still fearful to put a Taino group up there to perform in the public, not just in a folkloric cultural event, but say in front of tourists or something like that, or Friday night in San Juan?
Habits die hard. Old habits die hard. Think about it, right? Your elders, or maybe just some of our elders, were still scrutinized for being Native, for being indigenous. You know, my grandmother is 70-something years old. My grandmother was born in 1942. And at her age, she still remembers people scrutinizing los indios en Boricuan. You know, she can still to this day reiterate moments in time where people would say Indio Sucio to people who practiced and identified as being indigenous. We talk about somebody born in 1942. Yeah. This is 500 years after, you know, they finished everything trying to decimate our culture, trying to decimate our people. So she's not going to teach that to my mother, because the misconception and the ideas of that fear of being identified as something like that, something that was considered dirty or, you know, unhealthy or unrealistic. You know, she's not going to teach that culture to my mother. And then if my mother never learned it, nobody would teach it to me. And that's how you lose the line of succession, essentially, when it comes down to claiming your heritage.
Right.
So now you have this whole resurgence of people who are just like, oh, no, I'm proud to be Taino, you know, even though I didn't learn it, you know, even though I wasn't raised that way. You know, I've discussed it with you guys a few different times and, you know, different capacities. But I went back to Puerto Rico in November with my grandmother for the first time and my mother for the first time in my entire life. It's the first time all three of us ever stepped foot on the island together. And
beautiful.
The purpose of bringing them back to Puerto Rico was to introduce them to their Taino roots. Because when I started my Taino journey, they asked me all the time, why the hell do you want to identify as nobody does that? And you know, that was their opinion, but that's what was in my heart. You know, being indigenous, being native really defines a lot of what I am and who I am. It explains a lot of the reasons why I act the way I act and I partake in the things that I partake in. It explains my spirituality. It explains my temperament. It explains my willingness to continuously build a community and build community in general, you know, and there's no other way other than honoring, you know, my ancestors and what I come from than, you know, that I could figure out to really embrace that.
Right.
So when I brought them there, they witnessed so many things from my mother growing up and my grandmother growing up, and they saw the parallels, especially my grandmother. My grandmother saw all of the parallels from what it was living a traditional Taino style life and livelihood. And it mirrored exactly how she grew up. And she just stood there in disbelief. Like, I can't believe that all of these things are Taino when this is what I grew up with my whole life. And I just looked at her and I told her, you are Taino. And now both of them, you know, they have a very strong understanding of, all right, well, yeah, I'm Taino and I can't refute it. And, you know, whatever you're going to do in your journey, I support it, you know, and I appreciate it. And now they are willing to learn more about the Taino culture. And I've brought my children into it as well to the point where they learn. And, you know, I try and teach them a little bit of Taino and, you know, they're embracing the culture at a very young age, and hopefully they carry that through to their children as well.
Yeah, that reminds me, many years ago in the 90s, I took a road trip with my grandmother, who she was the only one that was really supportive of my identity, so that's indigenous Taino. And she was really upset that I left the priesthood, because she really supported me on that more than anyone. Even though I was a charlatan, she still believed in me, you know. Like, I think you'll do it. You're serious enough. So when I came with this Taino stuff, it drove everyone crazy in my family. But basically, we drove to Utuado to visit the Chevere family who made the pottery in a Taino way, tradition. So it was an amazing experience because she was getting cranky and we were going up. We got to the place. We were from Canovanas, which is heavily indigenous town, to Utuado. And we had to go up this mountain. And Ms. Chevere was so up in the mountain that we had to park the car and we had to hike up, you know. So my grandmother, she was older than 70s, but she was still in good shape. So we climb up there. And I remember her saying to me, really angry, like, you know, she said, I left this mountain when I was a teenager. I can't believe I'm coming back. You know, she was raised in Calle, you know, and from Jibaro parents, you know, my great grandparents. And she was like, what am I doing here? You know, it was like a, like what? It was like a nightmare for her, you know, like she left the country to come back to the country, you know, and my grandson's mm-hmm. bringing me here. Like she couldn't believe it, but she did it because she loved me, you know, true grandmother, you know, so. Yeah. So when we got up there to meet Ms. Chevere, I told her, they were in shock, like, yo, what brought you here, you know? And then they were a little concerned. And then I said, oh, no, Sibanacan asked me to come here, Cacique Sigamaca. And they greeted us. And then my grandmother spotted her garden right away, you know, all her medicinal plants. And then my grandmother started saying, wow, tú tienes esto, mira, you know, and then they started comparing mm-hmm. plants. And before I knew it, they were in competition. Like, oh, I see you don't have this plant. And then it was like, oh, no, you got to come here. And then she's like, well, you know what this one is? And they were competing like, oh, man. And I said, look at my grandmother. She's like the Bejica now, you know, like she knows all these medicines, you know. And I remember Ms. Chevere pointing at the ground, and I went, look, that's my bate. I'm like, whoa, this is so cool, man. But and there's my grandma still looking at the plants. And I could tell like she wanted to ask something, and then Ms. Chevere read her mind. She said, oh, sí, tú puedes coger un poco, you know. So here's my grandmother cutting the branches.
That's my grandmother too. Will you cut like, them?
Now, here's the thing. My grandma was fighting with me. Like, I don't want to come back to this mountain. Oh, son, mm-hmm. she's cutting some she's going to the garden, you know? Like, oh, damn. And then I remember Ms. Chevere said, mira, te voy a enseñar algo. And she took us. It was like the hugest. This thing was huge. It was an aloe vera, you know? But it was mm-hmm. huge. I mean, it was like maybe two stories high, man. It was huge. And in the middle of this field, you know, and my grandma's like, wow, like she just found gold, you know, like, and it was like, I don't believe what I'm looking at, you know, so something sparked in her, you know, and it was through mm-hmm. the medicinal plants.
And, well, I definitely see how we're related.
Well, right, because you're my grandma, right? Your grandmother did the same thing, right?
My grandmother does the same thing. We can't go anywhere, Sanakori. When I tell you, we can't go anywhere without my grandmother seeing a plant that she likes. And she's like, espérate, dame un segundito. And she tries to
go.
Take a little piece of the branch off so she can bring it home and sprout it.
That's it, man. That's it. So, man, back then, I wish I had a cell phone, man. This was back in 93. I wish I had a cell phone. I would have took some nice photos, you know. But the thing is that it blew my mind, you know, how my grandmother had all the knowledge, you know, but yet she was afraid to mm-hmm. acknowledge it.
To identify. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, but same exact thing.
Yeah. But then there was another, I'm not going to say it on radio, but she and her sister, my great aunt, actually made a claim that was like, it blew me away. I can't say it now because I don't want to embarrass certain people, but you know, a true abuela will put people in their place, you know, and they did that. So mm-hmm. I won't go into it here, but that shocked me even more. Like, yo, this is indigenous protocols, you know? and it's like, but I get frustrated. Like, come on, man, identify. Don't keep it quiet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's that generation, like you said, right? It's been
right
hammered into it. And I'll end with this. I still remember this. I was with my great aunt. Questioning her about things from the past. This is my great grandmother, and then about my great grandmother, and when she was a little girl. Finally, I don't know if anyone is listening to this can identify with this. My great aunt looks at me, right, with tears in her eyes, and she says, "I don't know why you want to identify as a Taíno, or as she say, Indio."
Mm-hmm.
And tears in her eyes, like if I'm a drug addict or something, you know, like, and
yep.
it, like, or a substance abuser, and she's like, And I was like, but why are you saying that? Why are you crying? I don't understand. She says, you know, and it, I swear, the only thing that could come out of her mouth was, because you're not ugly. You're a good-looking man. Why you want to do this? Why you want to do? I just like, what? Like, what the hell? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like she got into the whole phenotype thing, or you know, the whole image, you know, what an Indian looks like, and she's, mm-hmm. she just couldn't do it. She couldn't make it out. Oh my God, it was like, you know, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. So that's why I knew I was up against a history here, colonial history.
That's exactly it. It's definitely colonial history. That idea of beauty that a lot of the Caribbean has in general, where, you know, the fairer your skin is, the lighter your hair is, the lighter your eyes are, it makes you more attractive. It makes you more beautiful. And the indigenous, the idea of indigenous is, you know, brown skin, brown hair, brown eyes, wide nose, high cheekbones, you know, rounder faces, and people who basically play in the dirt and the mud is how they try to portray what indigenous and Taino people are. And I personally think that native indigenous genetics are some of the most beautiful genetics out there. And I'm not talking about just indigenous as in Native American or Native Caribbean, just indigenous people who are indigenous to the land that they belong to, that carry those original aboriginal characteristics of what the original people in that area look like. They always have these subtle nuances in their face, or these subtle nuances in the way that their skin looks. You know, I personally, I don't have regular tan skin. I have a very red hue to my skin, and it's not necessarily light skin, but it's not, you know, pale skinned. It's not necessarily the general orange, olive type colored skin. It's a mix of colors and blends that you only get from the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I get darker, that hue, it changes, and it just becomes a redder color, but not like a burned sienna type color. It just, I don't know, it browns. And I think those kind of characteristics in indigenous people who have indigenous dispositions to the locations that they're from, those are some of the most beautiful things that you could possibly see. Indigenous Africans that have blonde hair and very, very dark brown skin with blue eyes, and, you know, people think that it's unheard of, and that's common for Ethiopians. You know, people who have the dark, thick hair and the wide cheekbones and the wide round face and the green eyes, you know, that's common for indigenous South Americans, you know, and indigenous Central Americans. So it's these characteristics that really create this, I hate to say, exotic look, but it is, it's beautiful. And the misconception of pale skin, you know, light eyes, blonde sandy hair, it bothers me, because that's not the only thing that can be beautiful, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, wow, what happens when DNA is diluted? Are we still indigenous Taino? You know, I was thinking, oh man, I know a lot of Native tribes, they keep it within the clans, you know. And they try to keep it within the culture and so on. You know, our islands constantly are being diversified now. You know, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, especially Puerto Rico. You have so many people from different parts of the world going there now. And it's like, oh, man, what? I'm just thinking, like, you know, when the DNA markers disappear, will the culture disappear? You know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, not the culture. Will people scrutinize us because we don't have the DNA markers anymore? You know, we can't prove it. scientifically?
I mean,
would that be an issue?
Quite frankly, we're going to be scrutinized regardless.
Okay.
Regardless of everything, you know, whether we have it or we don't, we're going to be scrutinized because we have it now and we're being scrutinized. Oh, you only have 3% Taino in you. You're not really a Taino. Oh, you only have 6%. You're not a Taino. What about 50%? How come? You know, we're scrutinized for tiny drops, you know. So when it finally does disappear from our lineage, then what? Well, we still have the history of our people. You know, I know for a fact that my grandmother was a Taino. You know, I know for a fact that her mother's mother was a Taino.
Yeah.
And aside from my ancestors knowing who I am, because at the
right.
end of the day, that's really all that matters. As long as my ancestors can identify me at the end of this life, nothing else matters, right?
Right.
So aside from being able to do that, you know, I have a history that I can provide to people. Like, listen, you know, so-and-so was Taino and identified as Taino, which means that regardless of my tiny amount of DNA that might not be there, I am still a Taino. And you know what? I can speak Taino, or I can, you know, read our petroglyphs, and I know our food, and I know our medicine, and I know our oral stories of, you know, tradition. I know our creation stories. I know all of our semis. I know this. I know that. And that enough. You know, that is enough to carry on that culture and the idea of an understanding of being Taino.
That's it. You know, I look at the modern Jewish culture, you know, and, you know, look at the more ultra conservative, like
the Hasidics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you have the conservative Orthodox conservative. Then you got the liberal. And those that don't practice the culture or the religion, you know, and it's like you look at all of them, right? And they're all diverse, and it's like people criticize them because they're European, you know, they're not your stereotypical Israelite,
right?
From the Bible,
from
they're not from Israel, so you know they've been mixed in Europe and this and that and. And, you know, and they do follow the mother line, the Jewish culture, the mothers to the mother line.
Yeah, they're maternal as well.
Yeah, so they're heavily criticized as well as a people. But guess what? Yes, many of them may look they may look European, white, whatever. They're still holding on to those ancient traditions, right? That make them Jewish. And I remember Dr. Yare taught me this. The Hebrew language has been reconstructed 16 times because of the oppression, the destruction, the genocidal campaigns. Many times in 16 times in the history, 15 times in the history, they had to invent the language again.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, you know, and they still practice those holidays, you know, and they fight hard for it, you know. So
they do.
And there's a lot of anti-Semitism because of it, but hey, they're a tribal people, you know, and they stick to it. So for me, that's like the measuring stick almost to a model for us, you know. It's keeping that culture alive, I guess, you know. And
exactly.
So they're not much. It's funny because I know in the ultra-conservative community, they have to take DNA tests to make sure they don't marry too close to their lineages, you know, the cousins and stuff like that. They have to take DNA tests. But I don't know, man. It's just this whole question. Right now, I just want to take a pause, all right? I just want to remind people if they want to call in, 515-602-9792. And what I want to do is I want to put on a song, okay? And I found this online. And it blew me away. It's called Este Amor Que Tú Me Das, This Love That You Give Me. And the musician, the artist is Angel Manuel Rosado. I don't know who that is, but I'd love to have him in a future show. And the album is called Taino Boninque Naiki, straight out of Javier Hernandez's book. Mm-hmm. And what he did was he wrote a bilingual one in Taino, some seven songs in Taino, and then he translated five of them. So let me, I want to play, hold on a second. I'm going in between screens here. The one I'm going to play, hold on a second. Is Toca Roca Te Busica. Este amor que tú me das. Let's check it out. Want to check it out? It's kind of like a reggaeton kind of beat to it, which is I love. So here we go. Keeping the culture alive.
Thank you.
Yo, what you think about that? You know, I got the wrong song. That wasn't the. I mean, I didn't say it was reggaeton. This sounds like, I don't know, what kind of beat you think this is, man?
Well, it's definitely not reggaeton.
No, I got the wrong song.
It definitely sounds like something you could hear at a Spanish party, at a Spanish club. Honestly, if you played it for somebody who didn't know Spanish, I could probably almost guarantee you that they would think that they were singing it in Spanish. My Taino Boriki Miki isn't the best.
Yeah.
But I was able to catch, you know, a little bit here and there. I think it's dope. I think it's dope that he was able to take a language that had to be reformulated and translated into an entire, what was that, 3-minute, 45-second type song.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's impressive as hell. Quite honestly.
No, this is great.
It absolutely was. Like, I've had to take Latin songs and translate them into English, or take German songs and translate them into English when I was in high school, because I used to compete in music.
Oh,
I did NISMA my entire, I want to say from 7th grade till my senior year of high school.
Oh,
I did NISMA. I competed across the nation with my chorus and singing and stuff. So every piece of music that I had, if I wasn't able to translate it from the original language into English or translate it into another language, I wasn't allowed to sing it. My chorus director was very, very strict on making sure that we understood the phonetics behind what we sang, so that we could make sure we respected the culture appropriately.
Right.
So if I had to sing in Latin, I sang a song in Latin at least once every single school year. So I ended up learning Latin just in general. So I learned the dead language just because it was part of the music that I sang. So for him to be able to take a dead language and translate, you know, what he wanted to say in Spanish into, you know, that dead language, it's impressive to me, just personally speaking.
That
takes skill and patience. It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah. It came out in April of 2020.
Of last year.
And he has like 7 songs, you know. The guy is dope, man. We got to get him in the show. We got to find him.
All right. I'm with it. Yeah, because I'm curious. What made him want to do that? You know, like, I get it. You know, preserving the culture. That's amazing, honestly.
Yes, we got to look for
that's
him.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man. So, you know, I encourage people to call in. You got 515-602-9792. Someone asked me this question through email, and I'll share it. I won't say the person's name. But they feel like using the word Taino or identifying as indigenous, it's disrespectful to the ancestors who call themselves Taino, because we're different now. You know, we're not like them. So it's like disrespecting the ancestors. What do you think about that? I promised to ask that question.
I think it's an interesting perspective. What I do want to challenge everyone to remember is that there's a lot of dialogue floating around in respects to, did our ancestors even call themselves Tainos? You know, so it's imperative that as a people, especially a group of people who are trying to recreate and rebuild a nation, it's important that we all sit back and really remember that we are working on information that was not readily available, not properly documented, and that have much written history outside of what we can find from a certain amount of scholars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be able to take what we do have and really create from that point moving forward. Right now, trying to reestablish the identity of this First Nation Caribbean indigenous group is a very big focus, you know. And the word Taino is what has been synonymous almost to this First Nation Caribbean indigenous nation.
Mm.
So for us to have to use a different word now, when everyone has already started to accept, and by everyone, I don't mean our First Nation indigenous people. I mean the people who have to acknowledge us as what we are,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
that have to respect us for what we stand for. They're now starting to recognize the name Taino.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to identify as something different right now when the work has just started would set us back years, almost hundreds of years, to have to re-identify and recreate a term or
right.
generalized terminology for us to be able to identify as anything else. You know, and then we're still going to have people who are going to say, you know what? No, that sounds ridiculous. I don't want to do that. I'm a Taino until I die, you know, and cool.
Yeah.
I feel you. I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
So it's more important, honestly, call yourself what you want to call yourself. At the end of the day, we're still First Nation Indigenous Caribbean people. You know, we represent the Greater and Lesser Antilles
mm-hmm.
of the Caribbean Islands. So
yeah, definitely.
Use whatever it is that you feel comfortable using, but at the end of the day, just know that genetically speaking, you know, as far as scholastic information goes, as far as scholarly, you know, information goes, people are going to continue to lump you into what a Taino is. The same way that before they started to accept Taino, we were Arawaks.
Yeah.
We have to give and take here. We have to be able to accommodate one another. And if we're trying to do the work, let's do the work and identify how you see fit within that process of the work being done. You can say, yeah, I don't identify as a Taino. I identify as X, Y, and Z who, you know, come from a descending line of the Taino people. You could do that if you want
there you
to.
Go.
But at
there
the end of the day, you still have the affiliation to the Taino, you know. You're still
mm-hmm.
representing that aspect of First Nation Indigenous Caribbean. That's too long to say all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I respect the position. I respect the opinion. But I do want to say let's not overshadow the work that's being done for representation purposes and cultural purposes, the idea of cultural continuity. Let's not lose focus of what that goal is just to have a name that you feel better identifies who we are.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're saying we're not our ancestors, and you're right, we're not our ancestors. We prevailed past certain points, and you know we've gotten into places, and we live completely different lives. However, we still honor them. So whatever you choose to identify as, it still stems off of the lineage of the Taino. So at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, you can still be whatever it is you want to be
mm-hmm.
and still a Taino.
That's beautiful. I love the way you share that. Okay, I have a caller now. He wants to be heard. He says he's actually scared of the term Taino. So let's see
why. Really?
Yeah, so let's hear it. Wait a minute, hold on.
Caleb, vuelco, Dios mío.
For all of you that don't know, that's a Spooky Lou's theme song. Wait a minute, is this paranormal? What's going on here? Wait. Spooky Lou has left the building.
Ay, bendito.
So I think it's it's an amazing. No, no, a lot of good stuff was shared today. I invite people always, Taino Radio 1491 at gmail.com. Send your comments. I know this whole thing about DNA, a lot of people don't give a crap about, but a lot of people do, you know. And I guess somewhere in the middle we meet, right? Because I know a lot of people are proud of their DNA numbers, and it's wonderful to see. I know, speaking to Data Yare, she used to tell me all these stories about the abuelas waiting for their numbers, you know, waiting for their reports to come out, you know.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
when they saw it, they were like, whoa, like, you know, oh yes. It's like they weren't surprised, but they were proud, you know.
And I think that's a big thing. That's definitely a big thing.
Yeah, it's you know, everyone wants to be validated, I guess, right, of who they are as a people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just want to give a shout out to Arayeke. Give a shout out to you that you've been trying your best to raise some funding now, trying to get the funding stream going to actually buy some land. Is there
That's
back in
right.
Borinquen and Quisqueya as well? Do you have any information for folks who are listening where they can purchase a T-shirt you were selling?
We do. We actually have a campaign going on right now, a fundraising campaign. It's on the Facebook page for Taino Radio. And it is currently a Taino Nation T-shirt where you guys are welcome to make a purchase, or you can just make a donation, whichever you see, you know, you feel more comfortable with. But they are there. We will have additional merchandise coming in the next, I want to say in the next week or so, we'll have additional merchandise, Arayeke T-shirts, and I actually have a Cacique T-shirt that I put together as well, so we'll see how everybody feels about that. And we have some Taino Radio merch that's going to come out soon, too.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. And, you know, I just wanted to give a shout-out to some people, Narayeke, a shout-out to Bilkis, who's been working on the website. I mean, not the website, the Facebook page. It's called Indigenous Caribbean Study Group. And, you know, we're trying to maintain that group. And she's been, you know, accepting people's requests to be in the group. It's a colossal job because a lot of people don't understand that we have to keep it Taino study.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an academic thing, you know. So I know a lot of people like to put in politics and so on, but we try to keep it as apolitical as possible and all about learning. Also, Rosa from Washington Heights out there, Inwood, you know, she's been a great help as well. I think she's going to be helping you soon, right, with the fundraising.
Absolutely.
Rosa, what am I talking about? Oh, Tashinaru. Then we got Jonathan, who's been helping out with, he's writing up a whole program, bringing back the old Guasavara Waribu Warrior Society.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that? I can't wait to see that. So that's Waribu is working on that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, man. So there's a lot of stuff. You know, if you were interested, Arayeke, Yukayek, it's, you know, we're somewhat of a different way where we're trying to, acquisition of land is the key for us. We're trying to get back to the homelands, building a bridge to the homelands. If you're a bridge builder, look us up. You know, look us up. Actually, we got an email too. Ogama. Arayeke, all one word. So OKAMARAKE. Did I pronounce that right? Arayeke. @gmail.com. So Ogama Arayeke. You can email us there. Or Taino Radio 1491 @gmail.com. So much to do, right? You know, some of us know our DNA. You know, some of us don't, but guess what? We have those oral traditions. The grandma spoke loud and clear. I got one more song, man. I think this is the reggaeton one. What do you think, man? Yeah, we can end the show with this. But hold on a second. There's someone writing me. I need to acknowledge this. I'm sorry. Hold on. I have to get in my. It's my Instagram. Wait a minute. Hold on. It's Taino Radio Instagram. I got a little shutout here. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Yes. Okay. Tomorrow, March 12th, is our weekly Indigenous Indigenous news activism show, where we play music and also we do talk about murdered women and missing women and children, right? So tomorrow we're going to have a special show. We're going to honor Andreas Iveta Reyes. She was murdered back in December. So that's one of our own indigenous women, Taino women, sisters, who was murdered. And wow, one of my cousins, my DNA cousins, Kat, she was a very good friend of hers. I believe they were very tight. And she's going to give a little testimony tomorrow about this. That's Kat Vasquez Alicea. And if you're around, I'd like to invite you, Stephanie, to come in on in and help us out. Inaru Boriashi to represent, you know. That's going to be tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. 4-1 okay. is going to be there. And we're going to do an honoring. We're going to do an honoring for her. So that's Andrea Iveta Reyes, straight out of Instagram. I got that announcement, you know. So tomorrow, tune in. That's March 11th, 2021. This is going to be an amazing show tomorrow. So
March 12th.
Yep. That's Friday night. Listen, it was a great
Friday,
show tonight.
March 12th.
That's it. Friday, March 12th. Wait, March 12th? Yeah, March
12th. Yeah.
2021. So what a great show. What happens when DNA is diluted? Are we still indigenous Taino? Of course we are. That's right. Some may not think it. But hey, we got the honoree. So let's hit this song, okay? This is called, interesting title. It's called, I Am Your Semi. I am
very
yours
interesting.
To me. Yeah, so let's check this out.
That's what I'm saying. Madalena Ina Guacure, Mata Yalaha, Dr. Kabuket Semi, Mata Yalaha, Dr. Kabuket Semi, Mata Yalaha. Mata Yalaha. Dr. Kabuket Semi, Mata.